Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He forsook his son on the cross so that none of you would ever have to be forsaken, and you never will be. Can you give him praise in the house of the Lord this morning? This is my family tree. All these people have made their choices, have made their decisions to bring me in the natural world to right here where I am at the end. And then from me, through my two boys, a whole new stream of branches is going to sprout from my family tree moving forward. My wife hopes that in this next generation, there will be some girls so that they can do girly stuff. Because at my house, it's all boys. And all we do is smell funny and make loud noises and play football. So my wife is praying that my two boys will have girls so she can do girly stuff with her granddaughter. But who knows? But I'll tell you what doing this has meant to me. It made me realize that my life in the natural really is a culmination of all these other lives lived. Of all these choices made, both good and bad, brought me to where I am now and made me who I am in the natural today. Do you see my fourth great grandpa, man? His name was Shadrach. How cool is that? I mean, dude, come on. That's cool. I don't care who you are. His name was Shadrach. I tried to get Angela to let me name Titus Shadrach, but she didn't want to, so I didn't get to. But I just told her a minute ago, I was like, we have another son. If we have another Isaac that comes along in our old age, we're naming him Shadrach. She was like, shut up, Paul. But anyway, my life is a culmination of the lives that have been lived before me. But here is what really spoke to me as I was preparing this message. My life is going to make an impact in the lineage of my family as it moves forward. See, someday in the future, somebody else is going to embark on a family tree lineage project in the same way that I have. And as they're doing this research, as they're combing over these names, as they're looking at these past history and these public records to determine who it was that's lives poured into their life, they're going to find my name. Paul David Grider is going to show up on their list in their family tree. And who am I going to be to them? What kind of influence is my life going to have in their life? What kind of destiny am I going to be a part of for them? I mean, what kind of component in their life am I going to be? I want to know that I've been part of the legacy that they have received. I want to know that I'm making a difference in who they are. I don't want to be just another name in their list, man. I want to know that the decisions I've made, that the life that I have lived has poured in to them. And not just me. Someday, somebody in your family, man, everybody in this room, someday, as easy as it is to do this now, someday somebody in your family in the future is going to do this same thing. And they're going to come across your name. They're going to come across your name, and it's going to be way easier now, and they'll be able to find out way much more stuff about you than I was able to find out about Shadrach. But they're going to come across Jacob Metter. They're going to come across Justin Jones. Oh, Lord, they're going to come across Gilbert Faircloth and Brandon Bishop and Michael McMillan. They're going to come across these names. They're going to come across these names in the history of their family. And what kind of an impact will you have made in their life? What kind of a legacy will you have left that has passed on to them? I mean, this is a family. A family tree filled with saints and sinners, filled with liars and truth tellers, filled with killers and healers, filled with prophets and kings and doubters and the faithful, filled with preachers and prostitutes. Oh, wait, no, that's not my family tree. That's the family tree of Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, and mine too. And yours. You see, one thing that we have to remember is this is not just my family tree. This is just a branch off of a big tree that all of us are attached to. You see, we look at our family tree as though it's ours. Well, this is my family tree and this is my lineage and this goes back to my whatever. But ultimately, if we trace them back far enough, it all comes to the same point. Ultimately, when we trace our family tree back far enough, over and over and over, we come to the garden. We come to where the tree sprouted originally. In Genesis 2 and 7, where God reaches down into the dust of the earth and breathes the breath of life into it and made Adam into a living soul. That is where the tree of humanity begins. And that's where our natural tree of life all goes back to him. And then from his rib, God took that and made a mate for him, made a partner for him in life and crafted Eve. And these two are where the trunk of the tree of humanity, the tree of the flesh, begins. But before it ever branched, before it ever had a branch, before it ever had a bud, it encountered another tree that will be interacted with it and affect it for the rest of eternity. You see, our family tree encountered the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You guys know the story. The forbidden tree, the tree that they were told not to eat from, the only tree. And before our tree could branch at all, we ran into this tree. And because we chose to break God's law and to eat from that tree, our family tree was infected with a sin disease from its very beginning. I mean, from its roots, I mean, from its very trunk. Before it had ever made the first branch, before it had ever grown the first bud, our family tree, the tree of humanity, the tree of the flesh, was infected with a sin disease because of the choice that we made. And so this tree grows, and this tree buds, and this tree branches. But as it grows, and as it branches, it carries this sin disease with it. It carries this infection with it the entire time. And every time that it branches, every new leaf that is grown on the tree of humanity, On the family tree of man, of humankind, it's infected with sin. It's infected, and we carry it with us everywhere that we go. And it leads to death. It doesn't die immediately, but it leads to death. We're all carriers of this sin sickness. And we pass it on from generation to generation. Every bud, every branch, every leaf that grows is infected. Infected with this sin disease. But what if I was to tell you, what if I was to tell you that our leaves, our branches, can be plucked off this tree and be grafted into a brand new tree? We can be released from this infected tree and grafted onto a new tree that knows no sickness, that knows no disease, that knows no sin, that will never know death. Would you guys be interested in that? Well, you can get there. All you got to do is die. Pray with me this morning. God, I pray that you'll reveal to us your glory today. I pray you'll reveal to us your power today. I pray that you'll reveal to us your plan today, God. I pray today that you will prune us from the tree of death and graft us in to the tree of life today, God. I pray that the power of your love kills us with grace and brings us to life with the same exact thing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Let's just give him glory for his tree today. Would you guys stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? Come on. I'm going to be in the book of Matthew in chapter 12 today. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46. And the New Testament Gospel of Matthew says this. While he was speaking with the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak with him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you." He replied to the one who was speaking to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever," say whoever. Whoever. Say it like you mean it, whoever. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. How does it feel to be the family of God today, huh? How does it feel to be the family of God today? You guys may be seated. Two trees. Two trees, both having power. Two trees, both having power, both having connection to you. But you got to ask yourself today, which tree are you going to be connected to? Which tree are you going to draw your life from? The tree of humanity or the tree of divinity? The tree of the flesh or the tree of the spirit? The tree that looks like life but leads to death, or the tree that looks like death but leads to life? That's the question that I want us all to answer today. Which tree? Which tree are we going to draw our life from? And then, which tree are we going to pour our life from into the next generation that we have influence over? Which tree? Jesus' family comes to see him. Oh, how sweet, right? Not at all. Jesus was inside, teaching the truth and grace, the word of God. Family was on the outside. They didn't come into where he was to hear what he was teaching about. They stayed on the outside and demanded that he come to them. They could have come in, sit and listen to what he was teaching and been part of what they were doing, but they didn't. They stayed outside, separated from him, separated from what he was doing, wanting him to come to them. Do you know why Jesus' family came that day? They came to get him. They came to get him. What you're witnessing is an old school, first century intervention. Have you guys ever been part of an intervention? I have. Man, it is not much fun. Hey man, the reason why we're all here today, I may have to do another one here real soon. The reason why we're here today is that you're acting crazy. And we, your family, we've all come together to tell you to stop. So stop acting crazy and stop doing all this ridiculous stuff and act right. Act right. I've had to have these kind of conversations with people. Yeah, it's not much fun. And that's the conversation that Jesus' family came to have with him. Now you're like, really, really, Pastor, are you sure? I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus has made everyone mad at this point. Everyone. He's made the Roman officials mad. He's made the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of religious law who really have the control in the region. He's made them mad. He's made the people from his hometown mad. Everyone is aggravated with Jesus right now. And his family just wants him to hush so that it'll take some of the attention off him. They really want him to stop telling people that he's God, okay? Like Jesus is going around telling the whole world, yeah, I'm God. I'm the light of the world. If you don't want to walk in darkness, then you have no other choice but to follow me. I'm the spring of living water. If you want to drink and never be thirsty again, just come and drink from me. It'd be cool. If you really want to live, you can't eat manna that came from heaven. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and then you'll live forever. I'm the bread of God. I'm the only thing that'll ever fill you up. I'm the son of the living God. Oh, yeah, I'm the Jewish Messiah. I came to establish a new kingdom of God on the earth. Yeah, it sounds fine to us, but can you imagine if it was your brother that was saying that kind of stuff? Imagine if it was your brother or your cousin that was going around going, yeah, I'm God. I'm the Lord incarnate. I'm the King of glory. I know it's me. I've been since the beginning, and then I'll be after the end. I'm everything that you could ever desire. If you haven't seen the Father, well, you've seen me, and I'm just like him. Can you imagine if your brother was going around telling people that? You would want him to hush, too. And now, not only is he telling people in his hometown that, he's going to Jerusalem to tell people that. So look, it's the equivalent of this. If your brother was walking up down the street on your block and just telling the people on your block that he was God, it would probably be okay, right? Because you just tell your neighbors, you'd be like, yeah, so he's going to come by and tell you that he's God, but it's just a phase that he's going through. Just pat him on his head and send him on his way. It'll be fine. And so you would have an understanding with the neighbors, right? And so the neighbors would see him coming. They'd be like, oh, man, here he comes again. Hey, everybody. Yeah, I'm the light of the world. I'm going to save everybody from their sins. They'd be like, okay, Jesus, cool. Yeah, have a good day. We got a phone call or we got to leave. But now it's more than that, right? Now it's not just that he's going up and down the block knocking on people's door and telling them that he's God. Now he's being interviewed by WBKO, right? Now he's on Midday Live. Yeah. Now he's on Midday Live and Chris Allen's like, so you're God? And he's like, yeah, I'm God. I'm the King of glory. And now, not just that, but CNN and Fox News have got a hold of the story too, right? And so now he's gone nationwide. He's streaming on social media. He's on YouTube. He's telling the whole world, yeah, I'm God. I'm God. I'm going to, just like Jonah, going to go into the belly of the earth for 3 days, going to come back to life, save everybody from their sins. That's why I came here. And his family's like, oh, God, what are we going to do now? So they come to get him and take him home. They come to get him and tell him to stop spreading all this nonsense around and telling people that he's God. Hold on. Maybe that's him calling now. So they came to do an intervention and just tell him just to stop. Because see, ultimately, here's what they want. His family wants to cease the path and stop the path that's going to lead Jesus to be on this tree. And they just want him to come home and just take his rightful place on this tree and just stop. They just want him to take his spot on this tree. They just want him to take over the family business like he's supposed to, like the whole world's told him to, and take care of his mama like a good Jewish boy is supposed to. They want him to marry and have children and continue. Put that family tree back up there, man. They want him to be a piece of the puzzle in the family tree of Joseph and Mary. They just want him to take his spot on the family tree and do what he's supposed to do. They just want him to be who they think that he should be. They want him to take the things that have been passed down to him by his earthly family and just continue that on, because that's what we're supposed to do, and that's what they want for him. Stop all this nonsense and just come home. Just come home. And his mama's thinking, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. And James is thinking, you're making me look like an idiot again. And they just want him to come home. But Jesus is not going to do that. Jesus is not going to do that. There's no way that he's going back to that tree. There's no way. You could not hold him on this tree with 3 nails. You can't. You couldn't hold him on this tree with 1,000 nails. You couldn't hold him on this tree with anything. You could not weld him to this tree. He doesn't care. He's not going. He's not going back to that tree. He's not going. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 61, the Bible says this: the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all that mourn, to provide for those that mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of glory and beauty instead of ashes, and festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees, planted by the Lord to glorify him. Some of your translations will say oaks of righteousness, to bring glory to the Lord. See, Jesus is not going back to that tree. Jesus Christ came to earth to plant a brand new tree. To plant a brand new tree, a brand new family tree that started when he was born in Bethlehem and really gets going when he's hung on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came to plant a brand new tree, a brand new tree, so that we wouldn't have to be attached to the tree of humanity, so the tree of flesh would not have purchase or power over us anymore. To plant a brand new tree that we could be grafted onto by his blood. But in order to do that, we have to die from this tree. We have to die from this family. And then we have to be born again into this family. We have to be born again. I know that's an old school term, but it still holds just as much weight now as it did in the 70s. Just as much power when I say it as when they said it back in the Crusades then, in the 70s and 80s, man. We have to be born again. And if we're not, we don't get to be part of this family. If we're not, there's no way that we can make the transition. There's no way that we can be born into the family of God unless we're born again. I'm going to read a scripture that's probably very familiar to everyone here. But today I pray that maybe it hits you a little bit of a different way. John 3 says this: there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform these signs you do unless God were with him." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Do you hear what I'm saying? Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That means if you're part of this tree still, you don't belong to the kingdom of God. Man, there's a lie that has been perpetuated in our society that says that all people are the children of God. Not true. Not true. You have to be adopted into the family by blood, by the blood of the Savior. You have to be adopted in. We're not the children of God. We forsook God. We turned our back on him and walked away from him, walked out of the family. And if we're not adopted back in by blood, we're not part of the family. We're not the children of God unless we're born again. How can anyone be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? I guarantee you that my mama don't want to give birth to me again. Do you, mama? And my wife may be able to birth Titus again, but there ain't no way that she could birth Logan. Have you seen that kid? It can't happen. He's a monster. Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water, that's natural birth, and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever is born of the tree of humanity is flesh. But whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed at what I told you, that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sounds, but you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Asked Nicodemus. Are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Jesus replied, truly I tell you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended in heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world. We'll do it the other way, y'all probably know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I like these next two verses better, though. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Have you heard that one? That's where the power's at right there. John 3:17. That's where the power is. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Those attached to this tree are already condemned. If we're born of the flesh, we were born with that sin infection that started in the beginning and was passed down generation to generation to generation to generation. This tree has been forsaken. I'm sorry, it's just true. This tree has been forsaken. This tree is condemned. This tree is infected, and it can't be fixed. It can't be fixed. It's done. It's over for this tree. But what can happen? What can happen is that by his blood, not the blood that he inherited from Mary, not the blood he shares with James, but the DNA blood sequence that he got from his Father in heaven, by that blood, by the blood that ran down this cross, we can be grafted, born again in this family, in this tree, for this eternity, for this life, for this eternity. Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? Those that do the will of my Father. Do you know what the will of God is? We always wonder, we're like, I just need to find out God what God's will is. I want to just determine God's will. If I just knew God's will for my life, then everything would be fine. Wait, church, I'm here today to tell you what the will of God is. I'm serious. I'm going to tell you what the will of God is for your life and every other life you've ever seen. It's in John 6:40. You can read it for yourself. The will of God is this. Listen, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You just learned what the will of God is today, man. Give him God, give him praise. Give him praise for his will today. Give him praise for his will today. God's will is that everyone on the earth be born into a new family. His family. His family. He wants you to be born into his family. You know, recently for the last several times that I've gone to the funeral home, I've had the same experience. And I think that God was just using it to speak to me about today's culture and today's society. And you know, I'm a pastor. Obviously, I go to the funeral home a lot to visit people, to console people, to preach different funerals. I've preached a lot of them in the past little bit. And so I've gone to the funeral home over and over and over, and I keep having the same conversation with people. I'll be like, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm praying for you and your family. If there's anything that I can do, you know, let me know. If there's anything else, any other way that I can help you. And they're like, oh, no, Pastor, it's okay. It actually was a mercy. We're just glad that she's in a better place. And I'm like, praise the Lord. She said, they'll say, yeah, you know, they're up there now with Grandma Susie. They get to be reunited with Uncle Bobby. And they get to see, you know, Cousin Leo again. And I'm like, and please, don't stop there. And, come on. I don't do that out loud, but in my heart, that's, I'm just like, and? And then these last couple times, I've just had to say it. And the Lord our God. And they're like, Oh, yeah, him too. And I'm like, no. You missed it. You've missed it. And I just, like, I don't call them out there in the place. But I'm just praying. I just immediately start praying for them. And that's what I've done these last several times. I just immediately start praying for them. And I just put them in my prayer list. And I keep them on my prayer list because they've missed it. They've missed it. They missed it. Man, heaven is not about being reunited with our dead relatives. That's not what heaven is about. Heaven's not so we can stroll through the pearly gates and see our Uncle Leo and our cousin Bobby. Man, that's not what it's about. I mean, I want to go to heaven and see my dad, my earthly dad. I want to see my brother-in-law, Jeff. Man, I want to see both my grandmas and my grandpa that have passed on. Man, I want to see them too. But that's nothing. Wait, church, it's nothing. It's less than nothing. Being reunited with your dead relatives is nothing compared to being able to be in the presence of God. Do you understand? In the presence of God. In the presence of God. I mean, to go and to gaze upon the throne. To gaze upon the throne, to see our true daddy, to see our Father in heaven, to see the Lamb, to lay eyes on the Lamb of God in all his glory. I mean, to be in his presence. Come on, that's what heaven's about. And let me tell you this, if God moves, and I know that's silly, but if God leaves heaven and go somewhere else, but my dead relatives are still in heaven, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I want to go wherever he is. I want to go wherever he is. I want to be wherever he is. I don't care where everyone else is. It doesn't matter. I love my dead relatives. I love my live relatives. I don't care where they are. I want to be where he is. This is my family. Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? This is my family. This is my family. This is what I desire. As we were preparing for our home group study on the Revelation, we were just going over the group as a family, me and Logan and Angela and Titus. We're just doing the home group. Yeah, Titus too. We were just doing the home group at home by ourselves. And we got to the third one, and it's about the throne room of heaven. And we talked about how the elders and the creatures, they just sing holy, holy, holy all day. And they just gaze upon the glory of God, and they're just in his presence. And it's just worship all the time. And that's what heaven is, just worshiping God, just constantly, just pouring our praise, pouring our love, pouring ourselves out before him. Heaven is that, to be able to lavish our love on God. Heaven is that. And we're talking, and we just unlocked some really cool stuff. Man, our family was just having a Holy Spirit moment. And then after we got done, Logan was like, "Dad, that was really cool." He said, "But I got one question." He said, "Why do them creatures have to have all them eyes? It's creepy." And I was like, "I have failed as a parent. I've failed. I failed to instill in my son that the reason for our existence is to gaze upon the glory of God." And so I immediately came out of my seat and put my preacher voice on. Son, the reason that they have all the eyes on their wings and inside and outside is so they can spend all day gazing upon the glory. I really did this stuff too. I'm standing on the couch, gazing upon the glory of God. Logan's like, "Calm down, Dad." He said, "I totally get that." He said, "That is not creepy at all." He said, "As a matter of fact, we need more eyes." What? Come on, man. Maybe I haven't failed after all. That was a pretty cool statement, man. We worked that out together, man. That was awesome. It was awesome. I was like, "You know what? We don't just need more eyes. We need more mouths too. So we can just praise him more. We need more ears so we can listen and hear him more. We need more hands so that we can just touch him more." And I preached part of that. That was part of the message I preached Friday night. And then as we were doing an altar call on the ministry that we were doing Friday night, God dropped on my heart and he said, hey, look around. How many eyes do you see? Hey, look around. How many ears do you see? Look around. How many hands do you see? How many mouths do you see? How many do you see? And I was like, a bunch. And he said, I know. He said, that is the body of Christ. One body, many eyes. One body, many mouths. One body, many hands. One body, many ears. That's you, the body of Christ, man. Look, 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 look. The family tree of God looks like this. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body of Christ. Just one line. Just one line. One body. Just one. Like, that's the entire thing. The entire thing. The entire thing. And you can be part of it. You can be part of it. Broken off from this tree. This tree that looks like life but leads to. It looks like life, but it leads to. And we can be grafted onto this tree that looks like death, but it leads to. It leads to. And that can be your eternity. Let me tell you a quick story and we'll get out of here. I know that I'm running long. It's okay, though. It's okay. God will redeem that time. It's fine. It's fine. The other day I got summoned, and I can't tell you the details. Because of the situation that we were in, I can't tell you even the when or the why or the who. But I was summoned to someone that was struggling with where they are, someone that was struggling with who they are, somebody that was struggling with where they were going and who they were going to. I can tell you this is a person that struggles with torment every day, that struggles with confusion every day. That has no family on the earth to speak of, that has been handed a really terrible genetic line of family tree, and has been handed a really terrible situation based on the social outcome of their family situation. So this tree gave them nothing. And maybe this tree's been good to some of y'all. This tree's not good to this person I'm talking about at all. Not good to them at all. They've been abandoned. They've been forsaken. And yet, they overheard somebody talking about a man named Jesus. They overheard somebody talking about a different kind of family that you can be part of, a different kind of life that you can have, a different kind of future that you can be part of. And so they came and got me and summoned me to be able to talk to her. But man, the question was already answered before she even asked it to me. I got in there and she just had one question for me. She said, can I be saved? And I was like, well, yeah. She said, I was at a church one time, and I felt like I should go forward, but I didn't. And I'm just afraid I can't be saved now. I was like, hold on a second. I had my Bible with me because I just knew. And so this is what I read to her right here. I said this. I said, this is what the Bible says, not what I say. I said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you'll be saved. One believes with his heart, resulting in righteousness, and confesses with their mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. Since there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, you hear what I'm saying? It don't matter what family you come from. It don't matter what they've passed down to you. It don't matter if you're Jew or Greek or whatever. Because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And she said, even me? And I said, honey, especially you. I said, can you do what it says in that book right there? And she said, yes, I can. And I said, will you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Go ahead. And she said, Jesus is Lord. I said, you believe that? She said, yeah, I do. And I said, do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? She said, with everything I have. And I said, well, let's pray. And on that spot, in that place, the Holy Spirit of the living God jerked her leaf off that tree. And he grafted it onto this right here. And all of a sudden, it didn't matter what genetics that they had passed down to her through her lineage. It didn't matter what family situation had brought her to the place where I interacted with her at. It didn't matter what kind of family had abandoned her. It didn't matter. None of those things mattered anymore. All that mattered is that she was born again into a new family. A new family. And she'll draw her inheritance from this family. And she'll draw her legacy from this family. And her future is determined by this family. And everything she ever needs flows not from the tree of humanity or flesh or condemnation, but from the tree of divinity and life and love. And that can be the same eternity that you can inherit here today. Come on, guys. The same eternity that you can inherit here today. You don't have to be stuck on this tree. God can prune you from this tree and graft you into this one. It's in Romans 11. Read that sometime. Graft you into the olive tree of Israel. Graft you into the kingdom of God, where it's Father, Son, Spirit, and you. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me and you and everybody you know. The wages of that sin is death. That means you're stuck on that tree. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's this tree. And all that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And all you have to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he lived and died and by the power of the Holy Spirit rose again.